Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. Today, I'll be reading articles dated January 7th, 2026. Here are today's headlines. More than 50 speak as Chino Valley postpones decision on Embry-Riddle runway. Two injured in OHV rollover near Woodshoot Mountain. And were you given an OHV for the holidays? Don't forget these requirements and tips. And here are your details. More than 50 speak as Chino Valley postpones decision on Embry-Riddle runway. By Stan Bendel. After hearing from more than 50 speakers, Chino Valley Planning and Zoning voted unanimously with two absences to continue the issue of whether to recommend to the Town Council a conditional use permit, an agreement that would pave the way for an airport runway at Perkins Ranch, where Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University students would be trained. About 200 attended the overflow meeting January 6th at Town Hall. Only 50 were allowed into the council chambers at one time as others watched the TV in the hallway or in another overflow room. Some waited outside, and some, including some planned speakers, left without coming inside as they didn't want to wait outside in the cold. Planning and Zoning voted 5-0 to continue the meeting at next month's meeting, but they asked staff and Embry-Riddle to address the issues brought up by the public and to address technical concerns. William Welker and Tina Meadows were the commissioners who were absent. The majority of the speakers opposed the runway and flight plans due to noise and safety concerns, along with the belief that it would hurt the quiet, rural way of life. Those opposing the proposal lived close to the runway, and many were in the path of the flights. There was a handful of speakers who threatened to file lawsuits if the town approves the proposed runway. There were also a handful who were concerned about how the runway would impact wildlife, especially the pronghorn. Homeowners also said their home values would go down and their fire insurance would go up. Most of the speakers for the ERAU training ground were from the Perkins family, although some neighbors or aviators also spoke in support of the training ground. Tom Perkins, the applicant, and speaking on behalf of his family, said that he understands the neighbors' concerns, but thinks this is a great project, and he is always willing to talk to those who want to make the community better. Some developments we like and some we don't like, but it's all part of life, he said. Chuck Merritt, chairman of the Chino Valley Planning and Zoning, was the first to say the issue should be continued until next month so questions could be answered. The other planning and zoning commissioners agreed. Ken Witcher, chancellor of ERAU, was also amenable to continuing the proposal until next month. One of the issues that Merritt brought up is that ERAU training flights in Cottonwood and Clarkdale have brought many complaints from those residents. Merritt asked how this is different. Will Dingy, assistant director for the town's development services, said that this proposed agreement between the town and ERAU would be more clearly defined. Commissioners also want to make sure that there are consequences if ERAU exceeds the limitations. Some speakers questioned whether it could be moved to an alternative site, such as Seligman, which already has an airstrip. Wiltshire responded that they looked at 5 other sites, but decided on Perkins Ranch after the Perkins family was open to leasing their property. Wiltshire said mitigations can be taken to cut down on the noise concerns. The runway and infrastructure would be done in 4 phases. This proposal was only covering phase 1. The proposed rezoning would cover 390 acres. The runway would be located 6.5 miles from Highway 89. The CUP would set the regulations for whatever is approved. The agreement would be that the town, ERAU, and Perkins agree to. Lori Lineberry, director of the town's Developmental Services Department, said the ramifications of not living up to the agreement would be addressed in the agreement. Merritt said he wants to make sure that the size of the aircraft was limited and that the runway was no longer than 5,000 feet. The property would be surrounded by an 8-foot fence. Phase 1 would take 5 to 7 years to complete, but it would become operational in late 2026 or early 2027. The operating hours would be 5 a.m. until 11:30 p.m., but the busiest hours would be 6 a.m. until noon, with 8 to 11 p.m. having minimal air traffic. 11 to 11:30 p.m. would be for when complications arise. The initial investment for ERAU would be $15 million. CAFMA would provide fire services. Dingy noted that a neighborhood meeting was held November 26th with 25 people attending who live within 1 mile of the airfield. He said the concerns were about the impact on the surrounding neighborhood roads. A test flight was held the day before the planning and zoning meeting. ERAU and Perkins Ranch would have to come back before the town for the approval of phases 2 to 4. Gary Pasiak, vice chairman of the Chino Valley Planning and Zoning, noted that pronghorn spawning period is from April the 1st to June the 30th and asked that construction be minimized during that time. Public comments. Sherry Klein, who lives in the Bright Star subdivision, said if the runway went through, she would need to sell her house due to noise and pollution. She was also concerned about crashes and burns. Gary Bowers said having 50 flights a day, 7 days a week, is not a small operation. Noise has an impact on retirees and wildlife, he said. It also impacts the character of the community. This is moving quickly, and residents are just finding out about this. You need to slow the process down, he said. Christina Lundberg, executive director of the Garchin Buddhist Institute, said that the institute has operated the 100-acre sanctuary for nearly 30 years with 2,000 visitors per year and have served more than 55,000 people from the U.S. and 32 countries. She said people come here for the peace and quiet and spend money in the community. We do more economically than this airstrip will do, she said. Lundberg is one of several speakers who said they don't oppose pilot training, but that this is not the right location. Lundberg was one of several speakers from the Institute who spoke in opposition to the airstrip. Danny Major said he supported the training ground and that the side-by-sides in the area cause more noise than the planes. He runs cattle in the area and said the cattle are not disturbed by the planes. Jason Kintella said ERAU brings employment to the area and planes would bring little noise. Matt Bale, a pilot, said he is not opposed to the project but feels Chino Valley should have control of it by making it a municipal airport. This allows the town to run the operations before it becomes a problem, he said. If it is a private airport, there is no oversight. Joy Perkins said ERAU has a great school and the sounds of the planes are the sound of freedom. Rhonda Ceremony questioned whether ERAU would pay for the fire station that would be built at Perkins Ranch or whether taxpayers would be stuck with the bill. She said in case of a fire, it would take fire services away from the town. Annie Perkins, a former council member, said she is a strong believer in property rights, and those who moved here should not take away the property rights of her family. Chris Pyrone was one of many speakers who said that the airstrip does not fit with the town's general plan. Kang Chan said he does not trust ERAU's number of 50 flights per day and thinks it will get out of hand, just like in Cottonwood and Clarkdale. He questioned who would pay for the staffing at the firehouse. Janelle Perkins, Tom's daughter, is a nursing student and needs quiet to study. She lives near Prescott Airport, saying that the noise has never been a problem. She said the pilot training would help generations to come. Silver Stapleton, another who felt the airstrip doesn't mesh with the town's general plan, said she moved here to be able to ride her horse in quiet areas. She said that the noise will make it unsafe to ride her horse, as she is one of the closest houses to the airstrip. Greg Murray, president and CEO of the Central Arizona Wildlife Alliance, said that the airstrips are not good for people or wildlife, especially the pronghorn. He said this area is one of the best in the state for pronghorn, and it is not unusual to see a herd of 30 to 40 out there. He said too often, wildlife corridors are fragmented, making it hard for them to survive, and this would be another example of that. Stan Kells said he wanted to speak for those who don't have a voice, the pronghorn. He noted that the town has pronghorn on its seal, so it should protect them. However, he added, if the airstrip comes, then the pronghorn will be gone. And Dave Walken, who lives by the proposed airstrip, was one of the speakers who said he would sue if the airstrip was approved. He said he would seek damages and would encourage everybody affected to do the same. He questioned if the town had thought about their liability when accidents occur. He also questioned whether the town's insurance would go up. Two injured in OHV rollover near Woodshoot Mountain by Hava Herzog. More than 30 Yavapai County search and rescue team volunteers responded last weekend to an OHV rollover near Woodshoot Mountain on Saturday, January the 3rd. Six people in multiple OHVs and two dogs were reportedly involved in the incident. an OHV had rolled over and two people sustained injuries from the accident and needed help. Yavapai County Search and Rescue Team, YCSRT, Jerome Fire Department, two Native Air helicopters, Lifeline Ambulance, and an Arizona Department of Public Safety AZDPS Ranger helicopter responded to the incident. YCSO deputies first established a rescuer staging area or incident command area and a helicopter landing zone at the Mingus Summit rest area. Two YCSRT backcountry short haul technicians transported volunteers to the scene. The two injured subjects were airlifted to the hospital and several four-wheel drive vehicles and OHVs transported rescuers to the rollover site and staging areas. YCSRT consists of over 100 trained volunteers ready to respond any time of day to wilderness emergencies. To learn more about YCSRT, visit its website at ycsrt.org. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Were you given an OHV for the holidays? Don't forget these requirements and tips. If you or someone you know received a new off-highway vehicle or OHV for the holidays, the Arizona Game and Fish Department, AZGFD, offers these important reminders before hitting the trail. A helmet. Whether riding in a side-by-side utility-type vehicle, UTV, all-terrain vehicle, ATV, or dirt bike, all riders younger than 18 are legally required to wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Helmets are strongly recommended for all riders older than 18. Eye protection, such as riding goggles, is legally required for all riders if the OHV is not equipped with a windshield. Riding gloves should be worn at all times to protect your hands while riding and enhance your grip while driving. Wear proper clothing, including a long-sleeved shirt, pants, and over-the-ankle boots. Take a free, mandatory educational course. Legislation now requires that any person who is purchasing the decal required to operate an OHV in Arizona must complete a basic educational course before purchase. The free course created by AZGFD includes content related to the safe operations of these vehicles. The course consists of a 10-minute instructional video followed by 20 multiple choice questions. The course will be required one time for at least one of the OHV owners prior to vehicle registrations or renewals between January 1st, 2025 and June 1st, 2027. For more information about the course, visit azdot.gov/mvd/OHV. Register your OHV and purchase the required decal. All vehicles designed by the manufacturer, primarily for travel on unimproved terrain and weighing 2,500 pounds or less, are required to have a $25 OHV decal to operate on public and state lands. More information for residents and non-residents is available on the department's website. Always remember to supervise children under 16 and check to ensure that children are riding an age-appropriate vehicle. Machines may be too large and powerful for a child to safely operate. Parents are ultimately responsible for their children's safety. Riders should only carry the number of passengers for which the machine is designed. One of the biggest causes of OHV-related injuries is riding with more than the recommended number of passengers. Proper riding techniques require operators to shift their weight and change position to keep control of the machine. Carrying a passenger can make riding difficult and change how the vehicle responds. For more OHV safety information, visit www.azgfd.gov/OHV. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. We'll turn next to the features page, starting with 5 Simple Ways to Help Your Family Eat Healthier This Year by Iris Higgins. January is here and the holiday parties and desserts have come and gone, and many families are looking for ways to get back on track with healthy eating. But when you're juggling work, school schedules, picky eating, and a limited time, making sustainable changes can feel overwhelming. The good news is that small, consistent steps truly can make a big difference. Here are 5 practical ways to help your whole family eat healthier in the new year without the stress or the all-or-nothing approach that often fades by February. Number 1, make changes one meal at a time. Overhauling your entire diet at once is a recipe for frustration, especially when you're cooking for kids who aren't thrilled with a sudden change. Instead, pick one meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, or snacks, and focus on improving just that part of your routine. Once that meal feels easy and familiar, move to the next. Sustainable habits are built step by step, not overnight. 2, start with breakfast. Breakfast sets the tone for the day. A low-protein, high-sugar breakfast, like sugary cereal or donuts, can spike blood sugar and lead to a mid-morning crash, leaving kids and adults alike reaching for more sugar. Starting the day with protein, fiber, and complex carbohydrates helps keep energy steady and reduces cravings later. Examples include eggs with fruit, oatmeal with nuts and berries, or Greek yogurt with seeds and a drizzle of nut butter. Plant-based eaters may try chia pudding with nut butter or a tofu scramble with avocado and sourdough toast. Frozen berries are especially helpful this time of year. They're nutrient-rich, convenient, and often more affordable than fresh. 3, make meal prep to make weekdays simpler. Healthy eating is much easier when the choice is already made. For busy mornings, consider prepping breakfasts or snacks ahead of time so that when they're ready, you can grab and go. 4, reduce mealtime battles with a division of responsibility. If you have picky eaters or children who are used to certain foods, mealtimes can feel like a struggle. Ellen Sader, a registered dietitian and family therapist, offers a helpful framework called the division of responsibility. The parent's job is to decide what food is offered, when it's served, and where meals happen. The child's job is to decide whether to eat the food and how much. This approach allows you to confidently serve nutritious meals without pressuring kids to eat a certain amount. And 5, stock your freezer for busy nights. If you have space, consider doubling or tripling family favorite recipes and freezing the extras. Having ready-to-eat meals on hand makes it much easier to stick with healthy habits on nights when you're short on time, tired, or simply not in the mood to cook. You've been listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona.